And so pleased to welcome to the show now, Phil Simms from CBS. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Vic. Good to talk to you. Good to hear from you. And shoot, it's about that time. We might have to write another book here in another year or two.
I'm absolutely up for that at all times. Always good stuff to get your knowledge.
I'm sorry, I mean to write this. Yeah, my next book is going to be, you know, all the things I hate.
Okay, I like that.
Still. We might have like 6 volumes, so I don't know if we can do all those.
All the things Phil Simms eats on the road while covering NFL games for CBS. Phil, I want to start with a topic that I know you've addressed in some other media circles, and it's gotten some attention, talking about Peyton Manning, and basically the point that you're making is that while he's injured now, while he might not play at all this season for the Colts, probably won't, you don't foresee the scenario that a lot of others have, that the Colts are going to you know end up with the first pick, or if they do, and use that to get Andrew Luck from Stanford, because Peyton Manning won't have anything to do with that.
Well, of course, you know, Vic, I know it's not Peyton Manning's decision. So maybe I didn't quite put it out there exactly how people want it. But I hope, and of course I've clarified it, and people understand, here's what I'm saying. If he's healthy, and he shows that he's going to be back to the Peyton Manning of old, I have no question that Peyton has minimum 4 years left in his career. Mm-hmm. Minimum. So those 4 years, they're going to be good years. We know that. So do the Colts, if they get that chance, do you take Andrew Luck? Of course, and you trade Peyton Manning? Can you imagine Peyton Manning being traded? And my whole theory is, when it's all said and done, I don't think they'll have the courage, or maybe it's not courage, they just can't do it. They'll go with what they know. No, something that's already known, that Peyton Manning is still going to play at a high level. That's my argument. Mm-hmm. And I say when it's all said and done, if he's healthy, he'll be the starting quarterback and the only starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts next year.
Phil, another quarterbacking topic of interest. I know there's a lot of focus on just one play, one moment from that Monday night game, Chargers-Chiefs, and it was
right.
Philip Rivers losing that snap when the game was basically the Chargers to win at that moment. So a lot of fixation on that. But prior to that, I mean, I want you to comment on both the psychological dealing with that for Rivers, but before that, through the body of work of this season, he has not looked like the Philip Rivers we know.
Well, you know, that's what everybody's saying. And yeah, the numbers are not the same. There's no doubt about it. But I think the scenario has changed, Vic. And Antonio Gates is not the same guy that we perceive him to be. Not yet. He did show some good signs in that Monday night game. I thought he made a few moves that I went, wow, those were just so clever and so smooth. But they don't have Darren Sproles, so that really... Even though Ryan Matthews has done a good job, Tolbert, they're not Darren Sproles. So the screen game, some of the throws, other things that's not there. And probably the biggest is that I noticed, and I haven't heard anybody talk about, Benson Jackson, Malcolm Floyd, they're just not separating down the field from defensive backs like they have in the past.
Right.
And, you know, there's a little bit of a change in the NFL right now. And, you know, it's funny, I watched Monday night's game, and you saw what the Kansas City Chiefs did. They basically lined up and challenged them almost every single play. And zone defense, unless you have an unbelievable front line, zone defense will get you beat in the NFL right now. So I see more and more teams just saying, to heck with it. Playing tight man-to-man coverage, make the quarterback make tight throws, and play that way. And I think that's what's happened to the Chargers, to answer your question. So I don't look at it as Philip Rivers as much as everybody else does. I look at circumstances and a drop in their talent level.
Tough-minded kid. You expect him to just shake off what happened at the end of that game?
Hey, look, that's as tough as it gets. They did a great job. They caught him saying, wow, this is the worst day ever, or whatever he said, and it was true. Here's how I viewed the game. It didn't go well his way early. The guy stayed in there. Now, Phillip Rivers does not lack courage, standing in the pocket or throwing the football. And what I really admire about him, I see a lot of high-profile quarterbacks, once they throw an interception, it doesn't go well, it's damage control. They don't take another chance the rest of the night. He is truly like a basketball guard that goes 0-for-10 shooting. He gets in the huddle and goes, hey, just keep throwing to me. I'm going to keep shooting. And it just doesn't faze him. You know, he doesn't worry about his numbers. He's daring. And when I saw that game Monday night, here's what I was thinking. Truly, right almost to the snap before he fumbled it, wow, he pulled it out. He hung in there and fought. It was as rough as it gets. And they're going to win the game. And, you know, I saw him and Norv Turner in constant conflict on the sideline and everything. And it would have been a great morale boost to win that way, Vic. You know that. To just fight and everything go against you and somehow you win, it's really one of the best feelings there is in the National Football League. So that's how I took the game. I thought he was courageous. And, you know, I'm not worried about Phillip Rivers. I'm really not. He can handle this.
CBS top football analyst Phil Simms, former NFL quarterback, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Phil, you got an up-close look, and you've had many of them, of course, but most recently this past weekend, Patriots and Steelers, a game touted as a preview of the AFC Championship, perhaps.
Right.
Steelers win it, and win it pretty convincingly. What's your takeaway from watching those two teams?
Well, you know, I'm not going to overreact to one game. I think the one thing I did emotionally right at the start of the game, Vic, I said my first comment was, Jim says, well, what about today? And I go, you know, the Steelers, I think they've had enough. They're sick and tired of hearing about Tom Brady and how can you stop their offense and Bill Belichick. And that emotion showed in the football game. But not only that, I think the biggest thing was is these two factors. The Steelers' speed at wide receiver is real. It truly borderlines the Philadelphia Eagles. They really do. Of course, Pittsburgh's quarterback can't run around like Michael Vick. But between the running back, the wide receivers, the Steelers have got some speed. But the other thing that jumped out is the defensive backfield for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Didn't do a good enough job telling everybody, but that was really the difference in the game. You know, William Gay playing at corner now for Brian McFadden. Keenan Lewis, I think he's in his third year, defensive back, coming through big time. Cortez Allen, another corner. The speed in their secondary has now gone way up. And if I said anything in the past about the Steelers that was negative, they probably lacked overall team speed. A lot of good athletes in the front seven of the defense, but just not enough great speed. Not going to say that anymore, Vic, because, man, they turned the page and they got it.
Last thing, Phil, the Buffalo Bills, and they play the New York Jets, of course, Sunday.
Right.
Are we talking for real here with the Bills, or is this the barometer that you're waiting to see? What's your take?
I think they're real, Vic. I think you know me. I'm one of these guys. I need to see more. Okay, that was great. Show me some more. And I watched the Bills play the Giants in person. I've watched the other games. I've had some crossover games, so I was actually watching the Bills, you know, kind of studying them even before I did some of their games. And it's real. The Bills, you know, I kind of say it this way. I know you understand. The underbelly of their team is strong. I mean, they got some depth. They got a lot of young guys. You know, I call them B-list players. They are loaded with B-list players. And they might have a few. The quarterback, Fred Jackson, Stevie Johnson, the wide receiver, they're all real. Marcell Dareus, I watched him last night, and I went, oh, wow, what a difference. I mean, what a difference in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Marcell Dareus, defensive lineman for the Bills. He's growing. You know, he's like looking at a little child. Every time you look at him, you go, wow, he just grew in the last week there. You know, he's growing like a weed.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. So when you get all those solid players and then you start sprinkling in a star or two, and, you know, that's what a football team is all about. That's what everybody's looking to do. And I'm impressed. It really is. Their last two drafts, they have stocked the football team with the guys that I'm telling you about. Now they just need a couple guys, you know, turn into stars, and they're going to be a big-time player in this.
Yeah, they made Ralph Wilson making that investment in Ryan Fitzpatrick recently with that big contract extension.
Yeah,
made a real statement. It's real. They believe that they do have their first franchise guy since Jim Kelly. Plain and simple.
Well, you know what it is, Vic. You know he's a franchise guy, and a couple things. Well, they paid him. There's a body of work, and the most important thing of all, he now has an offense that is built around him.
Right.
And you know that's when you've arrived as a quarterback. You know, Cam Newton is down in Carolina. I don't hear people talking about it. But it's like, if you said to me, draw up an offense that fits Cam Newton perfectly, it would be the offense he's running down there in Carolina under Krzyzewski. I mean, it's fantastic for him. And Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and now there's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He has an offense that suits him. I give Chan Gailey so much credit. He truly morphed into an offense that fits his quarterback perfectly.
Right. No, great stuff. As always, Phil Simms, CBS, former NFL quarterbacking great, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Phil, thanks so much.
Vic, always a pleasure, man. Look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks.
All right. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.